Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning. This morning, we want to look at a very well-known Old Testament story, and that is the story of Noah and the flood. A lot of times in our children's Bible classes, they know about this great and grand story. But the story of Noah and the flood and the ark, the building of the ark and all the animals going on the ark, is not just simply an Old Testament story of Noah's salvation, it is also a story of our salvation. I want to talk this morning about how that we are saved like Noah. Not that we build an ark today, not that there will be a flood today, a worldwide flood, but the elements that go into Noah's salvation, they are the same elements, spiritual elements that go into our salvation today. So I hope that our lesson this morning will be helpful. Let's see what the Bible teaches about how that we are saved like Noah. First of all, and there are four main elements that I want to talk about this morning: saved by grace, saved by faith, saved by obedience, and saved by water. Let's start with saved by God's grace. Noah was saved by God's grace, and we are saved by God's grace. A person cannot be saved without God's grace. Grace simply means God's favor, His love, His goodwill, His mercy, His blessing. When there is sin in the world, we can't save ourselves. We need God's grace and mercy. His desire to save mankind in spite of their sin, to look down and see sinful mankind and still want to save man. So Noah was saved by God's grace, and we are saved by God's grace. The story of Noah and the ark and the flood is found in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. 6, 7, and 8. So in the Old Testament, we're going to spend our time there, and then there's a few New Testament passages that we will bring in, New Testament commentary on Noah's salvation. But I begin in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, if you would like to turn in your Bibles with me this morning. Genesis 6, 5. And Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Jehovah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The word repentance at its fundamental level means to change. It doesn't necessarily involve sin. So when the Lord repented, it didn't mean that he had sin. It meant that he changed his thought about something. And he had changed his thought about making man, and it grieved him in his heart. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the ground, both man and beast and creeping things and the birds of the heavens, for it repents me, or just simply, I'm changing my thoughts, that I have made him. But Noah found favor in the eyes of Jehovah. Here's your grace. God looks down, sees a sinful world. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3, 23. And Noah, in time, as an adult, would have sinned, and he would have offered up sacrifices during the patriarchal period for those sins. But Noah found favor, and that's showing that God is gracious. And so we're saved by God's grace, by God's favor. God could have easily wiped out all mankind, but he was gracious and long-suffering. I want to bring in at this point a statement of the Apostle Peter, when he writes in 1 Peter chapter 3 about this very matter. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, Peter is talking about those who are living in the days of Noah. And he says, 1 Peter 3:20, they were disobedient. We just read, there was sin in the world, and they're disobeying God. When the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. And we'll come back to that later. But I just want you to notice, in 1 Peter 3:20, the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. That's also a part of God's grace. I'm going to allow someone to be saved, and I'm going to give them time to prepare an ark and to prepare to be saved. So first of all, we're saved by God's grace. He gives us time to change. For us today, of course, it's obedience to the New Testament gospel. But Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace have you been saved through faith." We'll get to faith here in just a minute, but notice that statement. Earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Paul talks about the sin that is in mankind, and then he even mentions the mercy of God. Ephesians 2, verse 4, and the love of God, and then the grace of God. So clearly, all of these things are necessary for our salvation. In verse 4, Paul mentions his mercy and his great love. And then in verse 8, his grace. In verse 7, his kindness. So clearly, this is a part of man's salvation. God being favorable and kind and loving to save sinful man. Back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. He wasn't sinless, but when he walked with God and when he sinned, he offered up the sacrifices that patriarchs were to offer up. We know that from Job chapter 1, the patriarch. We know that from Genesis 12, Abraham the patriarch and others offering up sacrifices for sin. Noah, verse 10, begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Notice, by the way, back in verse 5, the heart was evil, and verse 11, the earth was filled with violence. From the heart comes actions. From an evil heart comes violent actions. So we need to guard our heart. Verse 12, God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make an ark of gopher wood. And then in the next few verses, he gives him the instructions on the dimensions of the ark and the animals that are to be brought into the ark. So God gives him time. He's long-suffering. God gives him a chance to be saved. He gives him a plan of salvation. Here's an ark, and here's the size that I want you to build it, and the animals that I want you to put it on. All of that is by God's grace and mercy. We can absolutely not be saved without God's grace and mercy. Then what we find is that Noah was also saved by faith. And faith is not something that is given to you by God. It's your response to God's grace. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice in Genesis chapter 6, 13, God said to Noah. God said to Noah about a coming flood and destruction, and here is an ark that I want you to build in order to be saved. God spoke to Noah. Then Noah had faith in those words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Noah was saved by God's grace. Noah was also saved by his faith in those words that he heard. So another New Testament passage that I would like to bring in is Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on various men and women in the Old Testament who had faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer writes this, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. So we have to have God's grace, and number two, we have to have faith, belief, acceptance of what God says. Without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him, For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. Look at the little word must. You must believe. It's absolutely necessary. Then verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God. Notice that God speaks, God reveals. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. So when God warned Noah, Noah responded with belief, with faith in those words. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Okay? So Noah was already righteous, Genesis 6, 9. And when he exercises his faith and belief in God, he is further made righteous by obeying God's plan of salvation, building that ark. And he was heir, he inherited heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And it's always been according to that. When we exercise our faith in God's message, then we are made righteous. So, here's the second element that is brought in. Noah was saved by God's grace, and Noah is saved by faith. In the same passage earlier that I mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul writes, "For by grace have you been saved," and then he writes, "through faith." God does his part in giving us his grace and long-suffering and kindness. He gives us a message. He gives us time. He gives us a plan of salvation. And all of that is by God. Then he expects us to exercise our faith, our belief in those things. So Paul writes, "For by grace have you been saved through faith." And then Paul goes on to write, "And that not of yourselves. It is the gift," not faith, but salvation. Salvation is a gift. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is," that is salvation, "the gift of God, not of works, that man should glory." This is nothing that we're doing to build attention to ourselves and where we can be glorified. Even when we exercise our faith, and here's where the denominational world is completely messed up on faith. They say, well, if you exercise your faith, then you're saving yourself. You're doing something and you don't need God. Absolutely not. We need God's grace. We've already established that. And when we exercise our faith, it's faith in God's words. Faith comes by hearing God's words. We're believing in what God says. And when we do that and act upon it, it's His words. It's His plan of salvation. It's His commandments. It's not anything that we are doing. So that's why Paul says, "not of works that any man should glory." And Paul goes on to write, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." When we are exercising our faith, we are a workmanship of God. We're created in Christ Jesus. We don't get any glory even when we exercise our faith. And then after we become a Christian, we have been given good works which God prepared that we should walk in them. Even after becoming a Christian, it still comes from God. So no boasting, no works of boasting on our part. But yes, we have to exercise our faith. And that's what the Hebrew writer says of Noah, that by faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with godly fear. Notice that. It begins with an attitude of fearing and respecting God, and that moves me to then prepare an ark for the saving of his house. Now, that brings us to our third point. Noah was saved by an obedient faith. Not faith only, not just mental accepting what God said, but he got up and he did what he was supposed to do. So faith has to be an active, obedient faith. This has been mistaught in the denominational world where people teach, well, salvation by faith only, you don't do anything. That's not true. True Bible faith acts. It acts. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Noah prepared an ark. There's your action. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, there are many of these examples of Old Testament faith where it says, by faith, this person did something. By faith, often in Hebrews chapter 11, each verse, by faith, and then it's followed by a verb showing action. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch walked with God. He was translated. And we learn from Genesis chapter 5 that he walked with God. In verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned, prepared. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Verse 9, by faith, he became a sojourner. These are verbs of action. And you can trace that all the way through Hebrews chapter 11. So, number three, Noah was saved by obedience. How do we know that? Well, not only Hebrews chapter 11, but come back with me now to Genesis chapter 6, after God gives Noah the instructions on the dimensions of the ark and the animals to bring into the ark. Look at Genesis 6, 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. He acted by faith, and he obeyed the commandments. He didn't save himself. There was nothing that he could do to boast and glory in himself. It was not works that he had done of his own accord. He's doing what God told him to do. It's an obedient faith. By faith, he prepared. There's your verb of action. Genesis 6:22. He did all that God had commanded. But even more, look at Genesis chapter 7, when God tells him again, I have seen that you're righteous. That goes back to chapter 6 and verse 9. And he tells him about the animals to take into the ark, because I'm going to destroy them off the face of the earth. Look at Genesis 7, verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that Jehovah commanded him. That's the second time it's mentioned in the text. Then Noah gathers his family together and the animals together, and they get into the ark. Genesis chapter 7, just paraphrasing the story here in verse 13. Look at Genesis 7:16. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him, and Jehovah shut him in. They did, themselves and with the animals, what God had commanded. So, Noah was saved by obedience to God's command. And it's the same for us today. Jesus said, for example, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. The Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, though he was a son, speaking of Jesus, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Even Jesus obeyed his Father. And having been made perfect or complete, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. To all that obey him. So when we get up and obey, that is an active, obedient faith. Baptism is commanded. We need to obey that. Acts 10:48. It's commanded. Acts 2:38. Repentance and baptism are commands. We need, do you remember Genesis 6:22 and Genesis 7:5? He did all that the Lord had commanded. Well, we have commands today. Repentance and baptism are two commands that we must obey. And when we do that, we're not saving ourselves. We're not doing something where we are working our way into heaven or something that we can boast of later. We're just simply doing what God tells us to do. Just like Noah building the ark and getting the animals and his family in that ark. And so, you have to obey the commands. And in fact, I would argue that the other people around Noah, they were told the same thing. They just chose not to do it. If you'll turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter is talking about how that God judges sinners. That's the context. And he brings up those who were sinning in the days of Noah. 2 Peter 2:5, God spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah and seven others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. He goes on to talk about other judgments of God. But he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. But Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. While Noah was building the ark, he was a preacher of righteousness. He proclaimed that to others, and they would have had an opportunity to be made right as well, but they chose not to. They chose not to follow the commands of the Lord. They chose not to get on the ark. They chose not to listen to the voice of the Lord through the preaching of Noah. And it's the same today. Not everybody is going to obey the New Testament gospel. Not everybody is going to obey the commands of the New Testament gospel. Some will and some will not. Friends, I would encourage you to obey those commands. When Jesus was talking about Noah and the ark, there are two different occasions. One is Luke 17, verses 26 and 27. The other is Matthew 24, verses 37 and 38. Talking about coming judgment. And he uses, in Matthew chapter 24, he uses the example of Noah. He is going to come a second time, Jesus is, in judgment. And there are going to be people when he comes that aren't ready because they've chosen not to hear the New Testament gospel and obey it. And they're caught up in their own life and they don't want to change. So let me read Matthew 24, 37 and 38. And as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. This is the second coming of Christ. It's going to be just like in the days of Noah. For as in those days, Genesis 6, 7 and 8, in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. They're not ready. They didn't obey the preaching of Noah, the preacher of righteousness. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to obey. And when the flood came, it swept them all away, took them all away. And when Jesus comes a second time, there's going to be many, many people who have not obeyed the gospel. Friends, let me encourage you to obey today. Let me help you to do that. You don't want to be like when Jesus comes again. You don't want to be like in the days of Noah where you're just, well, I'm going to work and I've got my life and I've got schooling and I'm going to the store and engaged in the things of this life, but I have not taken care of my soul. There are people walking around that ark while Noah and his sons are working on that ark. They see that ark being built. It's very big. Maybe some of you have seen the replica just south of Covington, Kentucky, that is there. It's a very big structure. You can't miss it. If you're nearby, you're going to see it. They chose not to get on that boat. They were hardened. They were impenitent. They may have scoffed at Noah. They may have mocked Noah. And they don't want to get on. And they're swept away. They're taken away in that flood. And when you turn back to Genesis chapter 7, you read a very discouraging thing. Genesis 7:21, all flesh died that moved upon the earth, speaks of the animals, and then, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, and all that was on dry land died. Every living thing that was destroyed that was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping thing and bird in heaven, they were all destroyed from the earth, and Noah only was left, and they that were with him in the ark. The rest of that in chapter 8 talks about Noah's family and those animals on the ark during the duration of the flood. And then in Genesis chapter 8, verse 17, go forth, verse 16, from the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing, all of the animals, and they leave the ark. They're saved. Noah built an altar. He worshiped God. That was the first thing he did when he came out of the ark, Genesis 8:20. And God blessed Noah, Genesis 9, verse 1. He also makes the promise not to destroy the world again with a flood, but Peter says in 2 Peter 3 that he will not destroy the earth again with a flood, but with fire. The earth and the works therein will be burned up. And are you ready, friends, when that day comes? And then last of all, Noah was saved by water. In 1 Peter 3:21, God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. Eight souls were saved through water. Other versions say, and I believe more accurately, eight souls were saved by water. If you have a version that says saved through the water, that's not getting exactly to the point. Water was the means of their salvation. It bore them up by being in that ark. The water separated them from the death. Life was above the water. Death was below the water. They were saved by water, which also after a true likeness doth also now save you, even baptism. And this is a part that the denominational world has struggled with, that if you're baptized, then you're doing something and you're working something. Paul calls baptism in Colossians 2, 12 and 13, a work of God. Even when we're baptized, it is a work of God. We're just simply going through the water that God wants us to go through. And that's why Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name, Acts 22, 16. So Noah was saved by grace. Noah was saved by faith. Noah was saved by obedience, and Noah was saved by water. We're saved by those four things: grace, faith, obedience, and water baptism. And we're told to believe in Jesus Christ, Mark 16:16. We're told to repent and be baptized, Acts 2:38. We're told to confess Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9 and 10. We're told to be baptized into Christ, and it is a command, Acts 10:48. Friends, let me encourage you to do that. Let's be saved like Noah was saved. Thank you, and I hope that you'll have a good day.